My daddy is going on 90 years old, and I know he'd like to be in church. And I can see him right now puttering down that hallway up there in his little wheelchair. Somebody getting him down to the little old cafeteria where they hold their little old Bible studies, and he hears everything under the sun. One group being there teaching one thing, and some something else, and some something else. But the sad part about it, most folks don't know the difference. That's the sad part about it. Most of them do not know the difference. But, all right, Song of Solomon again this morning. We're in our Bible study there. That's where we're going right on through on our Sunday morning services. Song of Solomon, and today chapter number 5 and verse 1. When you find that place, let's stand together this morning for the reading of the text. All right?
Amen.
Song of Solomon, and chapter number 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. In fact, that's the only verse that we will read. I want to say something here before we get into the chapter. The chapter divisions are not, they're not inspired by the Holy Spirit. They were placed there later in years by men. And I don't understand why they put this verse that we're looking at this morning on chapter 5, rather than putting it as a verse in chapter number 4, but they did. But it definitely goes with verse 16. I may say a little bit more about that in just a moment. But the Bible said, "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved."
Amen.
Now let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer this morning. All right. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the good singing that we've enjoyed today.
Yes.
Thank you for the privilege of being in church.
Yes.
We need your presence today and your power,
yes,
your grace, your mercy, your love, your help.
Yes.
I'm thankful that you are a help in present trouble. I do ask you this morning to give us grace as we stand. Give us power, I pray, to preach with. Grant us the liberty, Lord, to preach Thy Word today. And may sinners this morning be converted, and may God's people, Lord, again today fall in love all over with Jesus again. I extend to Thee an invitation this day, Lord, to come in to Thy garden and there to dine with the saints of God. May we feast together from the graces of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that You'll bless and help each and every heart, meet every need, strengthen every soul, and give grace to every heart. And we'll thank You for all that You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to try, if God will help me this morning, and I want to try to preach for a little while, and the title might seem a little strange, but I want to preach for a little while on the thought, been there, done that. I think that we're all acquainted with that terminology that's being used throughout our land today. If somebody's been somewhere and experienced something, why, they use the terminology, been there and done that. Well, I think that is what our Lord is trying to get across to the church in verse number 1 here in chapter 5. That He has already been there and that He has already done that. For verse number 1 is a response of our Lord to a request made by the church in verse number 16. She asked Him there to come into His garden and there to eat the pleasant fruits. And notice how quickly our Lord responds to the church's request. In verse 1, he immediately says, I am come into my garden. She invites him to enter into the garden and there to have wonderful fellowship with her. And the Lord's response to that is, I am come into my garden. Now, the Lord does not always respond that quickly to our prayers. If you know anything at all about praying, you'll know that there's times when it seems like heaven is brass and that the Lord just does not hear. But rest assured, every prayer that we pray will is heard by the Lord and will be attended to in the Lord's own time frame. But here, for some reason or another, our Lord responds immediately. She says, let my beloved come into his garden and eat the pleasant fruit. And immediately the Lord says, I am come into my garden. But I see a note of sadness here, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I've got to give you the title. I see a note of sadness in this verse. For if you'll notice, everything the Lord says, He says it in past tense. He says, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. And He says, I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. And I have drunk my wine with my milk. The bride invites him into the church for fellowship. But it appears that our Lord is saying, already been there and already done that. And he's probably thinking that it is a disgrace that I have been there and done that, and you didn't even realize that I was there doing that. While I was there, and the idea seemed to say, I have been there and harvested the fruits of my labors, and I will not be back until it is harvest time one more time. Already been there and done that. And sad state of affairs, I've been there, I've done that, and you didn't even realize that I was there. I've never forgotten last July. I believe it was last July. It was a year ago in July when Brother Nolan had his last camp meeting. And several preachers were there. And on the afternoon of one of the services, a man got up to preach, didn't have an ounce of God around him nowhere. But God honored Brother Nolan, I believe, and it seemed that when the pastor took the platform, that a breath of God blowed through that auditorium. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, it did not take a spiritual man to realize that God and His presence was there in the house of God. I tell you, Brother Hall, it wasn't a lot of running and shouting. I'm going to tell you what it was. It was a lot of weeping and crying around the altar. Some men were on their faces at the altar. I'm going to tell you, I got down and had so much God around me, friend, I could not get up from off of the altar to run if I'd have wanted to run. But God was sticking that place. Now, I tell you what bothered me the most was that it seemed like so many of the people sat in the pew where they were, and even some of the preachers, many of the preachers, even testified later through their own preaching. If you men listen, you picked up on it. Testified through their own preaching that they did not completely understand that God had chosen to bless His people and to move through that auditorium on that afternoon. I want to say to you, my friend, that it is a sad day when God will manifest Himself in the house of God, and there's people there that don't even realize that God has been there. He has already been there and harvested His myrrh and His spice. He's eaten the honey along with the honeycomb. He's drunk the wine along with the milk. And apparently, the bride didn't even realize that he was in the house with her. God have mercy on us today when Christ can pass by and we'll not even realize that God is around us until He's already been there, done that, gone and departed, and will not come again until there is more fruit to harvest. And I think the next seven verses of that chapter teach the fact that I'm trying to preach on this morning. For she's in bed asleep and doesn't even realize that the Lord has been there. But in spite of her ignorance, I want you to notice the endearing words that our Lord uses for His bride. He said, "I am come into my garden," and then He calls her my sister and my spouse. Very endearing expressions of love that the Lord uses. And they're expressions of relationship. I'm glad this morning, church, that I am related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, number one, by being sister, He lets her know that you are related to me by birth. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad this morning that I've got an elder brother yonder in glory, and I am his relative. I am his brother by a divine birth. I have been birthed into the family of God. Let me ask you something this morning. Does He call you His sister? Have you been birthed into the family of God? Are you in the same family as your elder brother? Can He call you sister this morning? And then that sister, she's related not only by blood, by birth, but she's related in the same bloodline. Hallelujah to God. Yes, Brother Jerry. My brothers, I've got seven brothers and two sisters, and friend, I tell you, we are related by birth. All of us conceived by the same man. All of us conceived in the same womb. All of us come out of the same birth canal. And we are related not only by birth, but friend, we've got Truman Hall's blood running through our veins. Hey, if you're saved by the grace of God this morning, you are His sister by blood and by birth, because we've all come out of the same birth canal. Conceived, my friend, by the power of the Holy Ghost of God, birthed into the family by the incorruptible Word that liveth and abideth forever. And God has made us all brothers and sisters in Christ by blood and by birth. And then He calls her my spouse. Even a greater term of endearment than sister, because that denotes betrothal. I'm betrothed unto you. You are my spouse. You're my wife. I am come into my garden, my sister and my spouse. Hallelujah. I'm glad this morning, friend, that I'm married to Jesus. Now, don't you leave here and call me a sodomite or a faggot. I'll bust you upside your God-given eyeballs. Huh? Amen to God. But He is the bridegroom, and I am His bride. Hallelujah. And I'm not a sodomite, a queer, or a faggot. I'm a full-blown man. Hallelujah to God. Birthed into the family of God. Oh, yes, and I'm glad. Thank God that I am this morning His bride. Hallelujah. Now, notice something else, His purpose for coming. He said, "I'm come together. I've gathered my myrrh and my spice." He's come together. He's come to eat. And He's come to drink. Amen. Now, He said, "I've come together my myrrh with my spice." If I understand anything at all what He's saying, I've come to gather my fruit. I want to ask you this morning, do we have any fruit for Him together? Are we fruitful Baptists or are we fruitless Baptists this morning? Have you been purged this morning that you might not just bring forth fruit, but that you might bring forth more fruit? Does His Word abide in you that you might bring forth much fruit for God? Oh yes, He's come for a harvest. It is a sad day in America when God visits our churches and what He comes after is barren plants. Wonder if He finds any grapes this morning growing on our vine. Are there any figs on our tree? Are there any grapes on our vine this morning? Is there any pomegranates? Is there any fruit for Him to harvest? He said, I've already come. I'm going to tell you something, church. 1996, God came in for a harvest. Now, and you can say what you want. Hey, I'm telling you what God's given me. He came in for a harvest, and we needn't look for Him to come back the second time until we get our God-blessed heads out of the sand and realize there is a deeper work that God wants to do in our lives to take us just a little further with God. Amen. And spiritualize us a little more that we might produce more fruit for the glory of God in our lives. And I'm going to tell you something. All it takes from us is a little yielding for Him to do that. That's right. He said, I've come to gather my fruit. I've come to eat. And I've come to drink. In other words, He said, I'm gathering the fruit. I'm eating. I'm drinking. Puts me in the mind of a feast. In fact, he extends an invitation to the friends and beloved ones. He said, Oh, friends, a drink. Yeah, drink abundantly, oh beloved. Come and eat. Everybody come and eat. Dine with the Lord. Yes, me, spread the table for a feast in these verses. And when the eating and the drinking, it's what He said, I've come to see if I can find any satisfaction in my people at all.
Amen.
I wonder this morning how satisfied He is with us.
Amen.
Well, we talk about being satisfied with Him.
Right.
But I wonder if He's satisfied with us.
Amen.
Everybody look up here. Listen to me. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen it all my life. Hey, that we are feasting on the riches of His grace. Oh, and good Baptists, Brother Andy, they love that. I love to be on the feasting end of it and feast on the riches of His grace. But it appears to me in this text that Christ has come, my friend, to feast upon the riches that have been produced in our lives. I wonder if we've ever given consideration to that. That is how God fellowships with us. He dines, He feasts upon the graces of the Spirit of God that have been produced in our life, whether they be suffering or persecution or joy or love or happiness. He comes in the midst of the house of God to feast Himself upon the riches of His own grace that's been produced in our lives. I wonder if He's going to find any satisfaction. Huh? Is He satisfied with the life you're living, church member? Well, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? For Jesus gave His best for me. Oh, I wonder how many are the lost that we've went on to Jesus. How many are the fallen that we've lifted up out of the muck and the mire?
Yes.
How many are the strangers that we've entertained? How much love have we showed to our neighbor this morning? How much holiness and godliness do we really have about us? Are we separated from the world, sanctified under God? Is there fruit in our life that Christ can be satisfied with?
Amen.
I don't know why I leave me now. Notice too, how gracious Christ is to inviting His friends and loved ones to the feast. And delights, hey, just tells them delight themselves on the grace. Just eat abundantly. Everybody come. By the way, I'll get into it in a minute, but the friends and the beloved that He speaks of there is you and I.
Amen.
How much mercy can God show to us? He said, hey, I produced that I produce the fruit in your life. I produce the joy, the satisfaction, and the happiness in your life. And you don't even realize it's there, nor that I've been there to reap it from you. But because I am there, come on and let you and I dine together on this thing. God, help us. I've got 3 points. And they'll probably take 3 hours to get through. Huh? Three things that I see that I want to preach on out of this text. And one of them may seem like a hobby horse to you, but buddy, how can it not be a hobby horse when it's over and over in the book, in this book? I want to mention, first of all, Christ's presence in His garden. And hey, and I don't need to go back and tell you that the church is the garden in these verses. And I'm not talking about that big invisible one out yonder. Nobody knows where it's at either. Son, I'm talking about right here. He said, I am. I'm talking about His presence. I am come into my garden. I'm already there, He said. In fact, He's given us a promise, friend, until the shadows flee away and the day star arise in our heart. He's already given us a promise in this book that you can find Him on the mountain of Myrrh and upon the hill of incense, which is the house of God. You'll find Him a dwelling there. Are you listening this morning? Christ's presence. He said, I am come into my garden. Now, you ain't going to leave me, are you? Huh? Because I might be fixing to tighten the rope down just a little bit. Christ's presence in the garden. By the way, church, this is not the only time, the only reference in Scripture that He's come into the garden. What about that Garden of Eden that He first created in the beginning and planted it and took a man by the name of Adam out of the dust of the earth and put old Adam into that garden and told him that you can have every tree here for fruit but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam, in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. You know what old Adam did? Just as sure as you're living, that woman was deceived by the serpent, beguiled by the serpent. She gave to old Adam, and Adam, knowing quite well, while he did, partake of that fruit, and he went into depravity, trespassed against God, and plunged the whole human race into depravity. Amen. But look here, you know the first thing that he done? He looked at his wife and said, my God, we're naked. And they sewed some fig leaves, try to cover up their nakedness. Now here's a verse that I want to get to. And all of a sudden they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam, get this now, this is the point. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. My question is this morning, when God passes by, oh buddy, what tree are you hiding behind? There is only one reason a man or a woman would hide from the presence of God when he comes into the house of God, and that is because, neighbor, there is sin in our lives, and we're trying to find a tree that we can hide behind to cover up our sin from the presence of Almighty God. Adam, where you at? I'm over here behind this tree of self-righteousness. What are you doing over there, Adam? Well, I'm naked. How on God's name do you know you're naked? Have you sinned against God? I've eaten of that fruit and I'm naked. Amen. And I took these little old self-righteous fig leaves and sewed them together, and I'm trying to cover up my sin, and then I'm trying to hide from God on top of it. Oh, sad day in the church when God passes by, friend, and folks, because of their sin and their self-righteousness, will try to hide from Almighty God behind one of the trees in the garden. I'm here to tell you, you can hide behind a friend to every tree in the garden you want to hide behind, but mark her down, the all-seeing eye of God will find you out. You're not going to hide from God. If you ascend into heaven, God will be there. And if you make your bed in hell, God will be there. And I'm going to tell you, besides that, you get the high sheriff of heaven on the track of an old lost sinner, I'll guarantee you, He'll not only put him behind a tree, bless God, He'll put him up a tree. Hallelujah. Oh yes, and set the Holy Ghost of God on him. Wonder what tree some of y'all is hiding behind this morning. Good works? Prayer? Baptism? For I know God's passed by sometimes, and some of you don't even know He's been here. I am coming to my garden. Where were you at? Well, Lord, I was over here hiding behind this tree. What were you hiding behind the tree for? I've got sin in my life. Well, you've confessed everything under the sun. What could there be lacking? Come on in the church, children. We'll talk a while this morning. Hiding in the house of God, like old Mephibosheth. You know the Bible, we brag about Mephibosheth and about him being brought up out of Lodibar. But friend, hey, he sat in David's house and put both of them crippled feet under David's table right in the king's house, my friend. And there's not one word said in the Bible about him ever being healed. I wonder how many folks this morning are hiding their crippled, lame feet under the table of the house of God. And they've never been healed from the fall that Adam plunged them into. Huh? What tree had my eye? Self-righteousness? Hiding behind a tree of do-goods. Some people got the idea they're do-good and you're going to get them into heaven. I do good. I'm a do-good. I do good. I make all the visits. I do good, man. I do benevolent deeds. I do good. Well, I'm going to tell you, as the old black preacher said, you can do this and you can do that. You can also do nothing else and wind up in hell, friend. What tree are we hiding behind? Amen. When God comes into the house of God. I'm going to tell you something else. There's another place in the garden. There's another place about a garden. I'm reminded in the book of Matthew in chapter number 26. Amen. That our Lord Jesus Christ strolls into a garden and He said, I am exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And He took with Him Peter and James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, and went a little bit further. The Bible said that He began to be very, very, very sorrowful. He went a little further and He fell on His face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I, not my will, but as Thou wilt. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And I wonder why He hunted out Peter. But He came and found all three of them asleep. But He said, Peter, couldn't you not watch with me 1 hour, Peter? My point is this. Here's one man hiding in the garden. Here's three men sleeping in the garden. Huh? I wonder if that... Oh, it's time to awake out of our sleep. Son, I'm going to tell you, if I'd have preached tonight, you want me to tell you what I was going to preach on? Some of you wouldn't like it, and if I tell you, some of you wouldn't come back. I was going to preach on hell, friend. We have lost sight of hell in the house of God. Son, we're asleep on God. Sinners out on the streets are dying and going to hell without God and without any hope. And all some of you's got to do in your own minds, and you don't have to tell me. I can read some of you's minds like a book. It's to raise hell about the color of a carpet going on the floor and what kind of paper's going on them walls out there. You ain't a bit more concerned about a man going to hell than a billy goat is. All we want to do is fight and fuss and raise hell and folks dying and going to hell. My friend, it's a reality today. And don't tell me ain't, I can read your minds. I read an article just this morning that a Miss Hall printed out for me that David Johnston sent. David sent an outline of another preacher, I didn't know him, preached on hell. And he used an illustration. He said a man by the name of Dr. Maurice Rawlings was an atheist and said that a man was brought into the hospital one day apparently with a coronary. And he said, I was trying to resuscitate that man. This man's an atheist. And he wrote a book after this experience in 1977, Beyond Death. And he said that man was brought in with an apparent heart attack. And this doctor said, as I've done many times, I began to try my best to resuscitate that man. And he said, his eyes opened up just enough. And he said, I'm telling you, he said, there was a faraway look in his eyes. And said, that man's pupils had dilated. He said, it was the most fearful looking face that I'd ever seen in my life. And said, all the man could say, said, every time I'd get a heartbeat, every time breath would come, every time that man was resuscitated, all he could say was, I'm in hell,
I'm in hell! I'm in hell! I'm here to tell you, my friend, we're asleep down at the house of God when Christ has walked through the midst of our church and put His hand on men and women to be a witness for the cause of Christ and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And men are crying, I'm in hell! I'm in hell! And it seems like nobody cares that they're dead and going to hell.
I had two men in the church to come to me a while back. Say, preacher, let's at least try a Friday night or a Saturday night prayer meeting. See if we can pray and have a Bible lesson or something and spend it in prayer. Try to get God and power in our midst that we can get our hearts right and maybe get a zeal for souls. And I announced it. That we needed people to do it. You know how many men besides those two men have said something to me about it?
Amen.
Don't disturb me, preacher. I've got my own thing to do. God help us.
Amen.
I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've already gathered my myrrh and my spice. I've already eaten my honeycomb with the honey. I've already drank my wine and my milk. Yeah, come, O beloved, eat, drink, abundantly drink and eat. I'm telling you, he said, I've already been there and done that. And you didn't even realize I was there. Like the disciples in the garden, you were fast asleep, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, there's another instance. When Jesus was in the garden, you know that they buried Him in the garden. There's a garden close by. That's where they buried Him in a garden. I'm going to tell you why they buried Him there in just a minute. They buried Him in a garden. And on that third morning, there's a little old woman come to the garden by the name of Mary Magdalene. And she saw Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she supposing Him to be the gardener. You see, here was a man that was hiding behind a tree in the garden. Then there was three men that was asleep in the garden. Now here is a woman that comes to the garden seeking Jesus, and He's there, and she don't even recognize who He is.
Amen.
I wonder if we're there to... You know what she said? She saith unto Him, Sir, if thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. She mistook Him for somebody else. I wonder how many times that Christ has really blowed through. And some of you have sat there on the pew and said, flesh.
Amen.
Just flesh. Ain't nothing but flesh. I wonder how many times God has passed through and some of you have been troubled about your soul. Troubled about sin. Troubled about family needs. Troubled about the life you're living. Troubled about something here and there. And God passed through and you said, probably ain't real, just another farce. Son, I'm going to tell you something. You know the problem is we're living, Brother Robert, we're living so far away from God. There was a woman that, that had washed His feet with the hair from the tears from her eyes and dried them with the hair of her head. And she didn't even recognize who He was until He spoke to her. What about, what about the day that Jesus, and here's some of His problem. Come on now, come in the house, children. I'll just throw this in while I'm there. What about that night when the disciples were out on that sea and they were all rowing with a rope and the waves just tossing and a swinging that little boat here yonder and about and it was being filled with water. And here come Jesus all walking across the tops of the wave. You know what the disciples said? They said, oh my God, it must be a spirit. They had just left Him, Brother Mark, and yet they were walking on the top of their storm, and they didn't even know He was there.
Amen.
Oh, God help us. How many times has Jesus come and walked on the top of your storm, you didn't even know He was around? He was ready to calm your troubled waters. He had come into the midst of the church and spoken sweet peace to your soul. The billows were raging, the storm clouds were gathering. Troubles were on the horizon. Trouble inwardly and trouble outwardly. Oh, and like David said, deep calleth unto deep, and I find no source of comfort. And yet God
have the very comforter of your soul, had stepped out on the waters of your troubled life, and come to calm the waters. And friend, we didn't even know God was there. I'm come into my garden. I have already gathered my myrrh and my spice. His presence. I am come. His presence. May I say the second thing that I see? And I hope somebody will help me on this a little bit. Not only His presence in the garden, but I see Christ's pleasure in the garden. You know what He come to do? He come together and to eat and to drink. And He mentioned six things. He said, I've come together myrrh with my spices. And I've come to eat honeycomb and the honey. And I've come to drink milk and wine. I've come to do that. Oh, He said, I've come to the garden. I've got great pleasure in the garden. There's pleasures there. As I said a while ago, that represents His satisfaction. He said, I have found some satisfaction in the garden, and I have come. I have come to satisfy myself and to solace my life in the love of my people. Oh, my God, church. How many times has He come to solace Himself in our love and to bask in the sunlight of His own love and to fellowship with the people of God? How many times has He come to gather a little myrrh and a little spice in the house of God? And it's not been there for Him to gather, my friend. Or else He come and gathered it and we didn't even realize He was there and He's waved by and gone. And we find ourselves in the next few verses laying on our bed in our chamber of sleep. Now look here. I'm going to tell you how He satisfies Himself. Are you listening? What pleases Him are offerings. Now, I'm not talking about your money. He don't need your money. What's He got to buy? He don't need a new car. All He's got to do is say, be there, and He's there. No, He don't even have to say it. All He's got to do is think it. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't say nothing to you about it. I don't want nothing. I don't need you. But He does. He is delight, or He does delight Himself in our offerings. Come on in the house, children. I'm fixing to give you some Bible. You ain't going to get it everywhere, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you a fact. He said, I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. Myrrh is something that's bitter. Real bitter. I think He's talking about the offerings we make there in prayer. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, prayer is not a bitter thing. It's not. Amen. You're going to tell me that confessing your stinking sin is not a bitter thing? Amen. You're going to tell me that your repentance, that your prayer of repentance is not a bitter thing? Amen. Oh, God, I am a sinner. You cannot get people today to acknowledge the fact that we're sinners. Amen. Oh, and I'm telling you, it's a bitter prayer. Oh, what about the prayer of our affliction? It's because some of you know nothing about, my friend, getting down in that secret place and letting the hot tears roll down the cheeks of your face. Amen. Because you're bitter in your soul about the sin that is there. And you cannot overcome it. But I'm telling you, there's a great God in heaven. Hallelujah to God. Oh, that delights, my friend, in the bitter prayers of the saints of God. He'll come to the church.
Amen.
Together your prayers and your tears, and put them in a bottle. How many of you have ever heard the story old Mae Jackson gives? See, I'm talking about the kind of praying that produces tears.
Amen.
Ain't many tears like that shed today, Jerome.
I know it, man.
What about the bitter agony of your heart over a loved one that's dying and going to hell? I'll never forget a day I knelt by my bed in Greenville, South Carolina, just a few days before I left for Tucson, Arizona. And I knelt there by my bed, and I prayed for two men sitting in a restaurant on White Horse Road that I'd never seen before in my life, but God broke my heart to pray for them.
Amen.
That night I went to the prayer room up to the tabernacle and stood in there and prayed for my brothers, and God broke my heart, and the tears streamed down my face. Man, I'm talking about hot tears. I never forget it. I walked outside that little prayer room door, and there was Dr. Harold Seitler standing there with his arms behind him like a stately old gentleman waiting to go in the prayer room. He dare not bother me there. It wasn't going to disturb me. All he said was, took out his hand and said, been a praying, my brother. That's all he said.
But I'm hearing my brothers was heavy on my heart, Brother Jerry. And you talking about a prayer that was a bitter prayer, my friend. It was bitter. I'm talking about the bitter agony of my soul over my loved ones dying and going to hell without God. He said, I've gathered, my myrrh. I've gathered your bitter prayers. Oh, yes, sir. God have mercy on us. Hallelujah to God. Prayers of repentance, prayers of a life of sufferings, a life of afflictions. What about that? Somebody said, I know nothing about it. I'm satisfied most folk don't know nothing about afflictions and sufferings and persecutions, bitterness and agony. So what do you think James said? We better be letting our laughter be turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness. Are you listening to me? Huh? And then he said, gather my myrrh and my spice, offerings of prayer. What about the offerings of that spice? Spice is not bitter, it's sweet. This is going to make some of y'all madder than a bull. What about our offerings of praise unto His name? Them little old youngins got up here and sang their heart out. Last Sunday, they stood in here Sunday afternoon and sang their heart out. And some of our hard-hearted, dear old saints, loving saints of God, sent my friend like they weren't touched at all. And the reason they did, because they weren't touched at all. Can I read this to you in Psalm 72 where we stopped off? It is the kingly psalm. It talks about Solomon and his kingdom. He shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually. Wonder how much praying is going on around here continually. Not only prayer continually, and daily shall he be praised. We can't get praises once a week. I'm talking about in the kingdom, friend. We're going to pray every day continually. There's going to be prayer being made. And that incense, that prayers like incense are going up before God. Read Revelation 8 when you get home about the incense and the prayers of the saints of God going up at the same time. And God took fire off the altar with the incense of the prayers and throwed it back down into the earth. You know what happened? There's a big earthquake. I preached on that one time, Brother Andy, on earth shaking praying. Some there needs to be some earth shaking praying and some heaven shaking praising going on at the house of God. What do you think Paul and Silas was doing? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Are you listening? You reckon He's satisfied with our prayers? You reckon He's satisfied with our praises? I'm going to tell you another offering. Listen carefully. He may gather both prayer and praise in our offering of thanksgiving.
Amen.
How thankful are we today? Let me read this. I'm going to get my glasses out, and there's in too small a print. I don't want to mash these into smithereens. I'm going to have to hurry. My time's running out. Psalm 15, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving.
Amen.
Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into His gates with
Amen.
Thanksgiving and into His courts with praise.
Amen.
Be thankful unto Him and bless His name.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, I wonder when was the last time we entered into His gate, the door, with thanksgiving
Amen.
And come on out here in the court with a little bit of praise for our God.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, preacher, I'm just not that way. Oh, you ain't that way. That's right.
Amen.
How many folks in here saved?
Amen.
Are you thankful?
Yes.
Amen.
Not a going to hell, buddy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You do it, what foot do you do it with? with both. Amen. 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 Amen.
Yes, amen.
Sang that song a while ago. Save, save, save.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you what it ought to made us. We ought to have been doing cartwheels in here, buddy.
Yes,
he has brought me out of a horrible pit.
Yes,
set me on a solid rock and establish my glory. Put a song, hallelujah, my God, in my mouth. Even praise unto my God. I know where I was. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. And bless the Lord, I know where I ain't going.
Amen.
God, man, Jerome will do it anyway. Now listen carefully. I've gathered. Then he said, I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. Listen now carefully. Honey is made by one, the bee, and gathered by somebody else.
Woo!
Made by one, enjoyed by others.
Yes,
this honey was made by him and enjoyed by us. Honey takes a great deal of labor to produce. He labored on the cross on our behalf. It's naturally sweet. Woo! My honey in the honeycomb. Let me ask you, do you know anything any sweeter in your life for Christ? I found hope! I found Chelsea in the house of God. I've eaten my honey with my honey, my honeycomb with my honey. Hallelujah. Old brother Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, said, remember him without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father.
Amen.
Nothing satisfies the Lord more greatly. I'm talking about His satisfaction.
Amen.
And nothing satisfies Him more greatly than an assembly of believers where these three graces are active.
Amen.
Faith. Hope. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said that faith worketh by love. And I almost believe that the honeycomb is the faith.
Amen.
And the honey is the love.
Amen. Amen.
Woo!
Yes.
Do you know of anything? You know anything any sweeter than His love, Brother Jerry? Hallelujah to God. This all sings that song. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves you. He loves you, Jesus loves you. When we're bad, He loves you. Even, I'm about ready to laugh when we're sad, Jesus loves you. Woo, you can't improve on that. He said, I come into that little church in Island Farm and I found a little bit of honeycomb and a little honey oozing out of the comb, and I sat down with that church in great delight and feasted. And he looked outside and saw the friends and loved ones, and he said, hey, there's room for the whole crowd. Come on in. Oh, beloved, friends and beloved, come eat, drink abundantly. Praise God, there's a lot of it. He wants to, hey, you know, like that honey when old Jonathan found that honey when he was pursuing them Philistines and took that staff. Had this honey dripping out of the trees, honey laying on the ground, honey in the leaf, honey on the stumps. Everywhere you look was honey, 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 honey.
Love
of, honey, honey, honey. Now, I love that honey, but I ain't talking about that honey, honey, honey. I'm talking about that heavenly honey. Well, I'm talking about honey that comes out of the rock. Hallelujah to God. A sweetener out of the rock, the sweetener our souls. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Honey's water comes out of that rock. His honey comes out of that rock.
Yes.
His streams comes out of that rock.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. Whoa!
Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Woo! Hallelujah. Now listen carefully. Two more things. And he said, I've drunk. I've gathered. I've eaten. And now I'm getting ready to drink a little bit. Well, Lord, what are you drinking? He said, I'm going to drink my wine with my milk. I'm going to drink some wine with milk. Huh? Nothing exhilarates a man like wine. Now, he's not talking about real wine.
He's
talking about Bible wine. Huh? Listen carefully. Wine cheers the heart. Milk, I'm talking about literally, nourishes the body. I still like a big glass of ice cold milk, don't you? Big ice cold glass of milk. Not goat milk now. Cow milk. One of them pecan sundaes. Top it off with a zero. Milk and zeros. Whew. God have mercy. Make a man's tongue slap his brain sideways, buddy. Huh? But it nourishes. And the wine cheers us. I said nothing revives and refreshes like wine. Nothing strengthens like milk. Nothing revives and refreshes the soul of man like what, folks? Spiritually speaking. What revived you and refreshed you? What regenerated you? What took away your gloom and your sorrow? Huh? I'm going to tell you what he's talking about when he's talking about that wine, that milk. He's talking about the gospel.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, preacher, surely not the gospel. That couldn't be the... Oh, you've never read your Bible. Oh, everyone, not just two or three.
Amen.
Not them hyper-Calvinist boys. Oh, everyone that thirsteth.
Amen.
Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money come and buy. You can buy without money. And eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money.
Amen.
And without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David.
Yes.
You come buy a little milk and a little wine without money and without price.
Amen.
For wine refreshes the soul, and milk strengthens the body. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, there is nothing I have found any more refreshing in my life than the gospel of the grace of God. I was full of gloom and bitterness. I hated people. You know what I'm saying? I didn't like nobody. Didn't even like myself, buddy. Huh? Ain't that the way an old sinner is? Got an old heart full of hate, and then there's misery, and then there's sorrow, and then there's no joy, there's no glee, there's no mirth, there's no happiness. And so you try to drown your sorrow in liquor, and that don't work. And you try to smoke a joint, and that lasts for a little while. Then you go to a little stronger dope, and that might last for just a little while. But shortly thereafter, friend, it's all gone, and you're right back down into the same old gloomy state, and your soul is weak and it's just weak, and your soul is spiritually, you know, it's weak, and you can't carry the loads of life, you can't carry the burdens of life. But oh, one day, hallelujah to God, you heard the gospel message, you heard about the grace of God, and how sweet it was, son. You remember what good you little Lord hid you, man. I'm telling, I remember how it was, and I heard the gospel. And son, I'm going to tell you, put happiness where there was gloom. And the burdens that I couldn't carry, now I can carry. I can say no to drugs. I'll give you one better than just saying no, young folk. Tell them to take a hike.
Amen.
You need a crutch? Sinners look for a crutch on their booze and their don't, but we that are saved have been strengthened by the gospel. We need no crutches. No crutches. And we don't need a partial fix.
Amen.
for we've been saved by the grace of God, and glory has filled our soul. We now have joy unspeakable. And full of glory. And the final thing, not only Christ's presence in the garden, and Christ's pleasures in the garden, but Christ's people in the garden.
Amen.
And what he says in the last part of that verse, O friends, drink.
Yes, amen.
Why set you with parched souls?
Amen.
Why set you spiritually hungry? O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly.
Amen.
O beloved, it's available for you. Why set you so distraught and broken and powerless and feeble, so thirsty, when there's plenty to drink?
Amen.
And he calls his friends. You know, he called Abraham his friend. He called the disciples his friends. He sure did. That's right.
Amen.
And in the word beloved, he calls us beloved and friends.
Amen.
Told his disciples that I'm no longer calling you servants, but friends. He said, a servant don't know what his master is doing, but he said, I called you friends because you know what I'm doing. You know what he's doing. You're his friend. He's told you.
Amen.
And he said, hey, he said, look here. He said, I'm come. And you didn't even, you invited me not knowing that I'd already. That thing's got to go anyway. Y'all care if I just kick it down? She said in verse 16, she said, come into my garden. Come into, said, oh, beloved, let my beloved come into his garden and eat of the pleasant fruit. He said, I am come. And he said, I gathered, I eat, and I drop. And you didn't even know it. But he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. You invited me in, now I want to invite you in. Come on. Come on into where I'm at. And look here. He said, and don't worry about getting sick. He said, if you eat too much honey, you'll get sick on honey. But he said, don't worry about it. You can have all this honey and drink all this wine I've got, and it won't bother you.
Amen.
Come on in and eat. Drink abundantly.
Amen.
From a spring that'll never run dry.
Amen.
What a great God we have. He said, you missed it, but I'll give you another chance.
Amen.
Come on in. Would you come in this morning? As his people, come in this morning to the garden. He's there waiting on you. Let's stand together.